is Washington Wednesday ahead of a very important game here in Washington State. The Apple Cup, Wazoo taking on UW this Saturday. Kickoff is at 7:30, and here to help us preview the game for Washington Wednesday, a very exciting guest, Drew Bledsoe, joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Drew, how's it going?
Great. Fired up for the game Saturday. Unfortunately, we're not going to be there. We get my daughter's playing basketball in Colorado, so we're down here to watch her play some hoops instead of going to the game. But I'm fired up for it. This could be a good one.
Hey, to be fair, family first. Something we all completely understand.
Family first, but always. You know that.
But we are happy that you could at least take the time to help us preview a little bit. We could steal a little bit of your time. And I got to say, it's. I'm going to start with the Washington side of things. As admittedly a UW alum, one of the things I've been most pleasantly surprised by and excited by has been the offensive turnaround this year. What have you seen from Michael Penix and this crew?
You know, he's a remarkable talent, you know, and I think, you know, the Cougs are going to have their hands full, you know, and hopefully they can keep him inside because he's dangerous when he works in the pocket. But, man, when he gets out and starts to move, man, he does special things when he's on the move. So, you know, the Cougs defense has been flying around, but, man, they're going to have their hands full containing him and trying to keep him from getting to the perimeter and making those really special plays. So, yeah, it's been a pretty big turnaround for him this year for sure.
Drew, thanks for joining us, man. I'm going to ask you about our quarterback, Cam Ward. I think initially he came out hot. You know, he kind of had that that new car smell, and then the league starts to figure you out a little bit, and now I feel like he's turning a corner with help in the run game. What have you seen out of Cam Ward and how he's developed this year?
You know, it's been cool to watch him develop. I mean, it's hard when you move into a new situation, certainly. New players, new teammates, new scheme, you know, all that stuff, and you know, there's a little bit of a you know, some growing pains there early, but it sure seems like he's playing at a high level now, and it feels like his accuracy has been a lot better in more recent games. So, you know, I think this is going to be an explosive game. You know, there's the Cougs are playing great defense, but you know, locking that Husky offense down is going to be a problem. So, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. It's going to be exciting.
You're hearing Drew Bledsoe on with us right now for Washington Wednesday. We're previewing the Apple Cup. Bump and I, Drew, were talking earlier about the importance of the run game for both of these teams. Do you see that being a huge factor on Saturday?
Oh, of course, yeah. You know, I mean, shoot, you got two dynamic quarterbacks, but, you know, if you're in a situation where you have to rely solely on that and you don't have balance in your offense, that makes it really difficult on a quarterback. There's no question. So, you know, these teams, they both seem like they're, you know, they're running it better. There's still going to be those flash plays in the passing game, but you know, if they can pound the ball, especially, you know, I'm kind of hoping for some snow, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's going to. I think it looks like it might snow like the day after the game, but you know, especially if there's some weather, man, and playing a night game like that, you know, hammering the ball on the ground a little bit is always helpful.
You're hoping for another snowball, huh?
That's
I'm
what it is.
Hoping for another one, man. You know, we were talking last night. I was actually with Damon Heward last night, but little wine, you know, Apple Cup preview with his passing time wine and our double back. As we were talking some trash last night, but you know, that snowball was 30 years ago, man. It seems like that went by in a flash. I can't believe it was that long ago.
Yeah, Drew, when you think about the Apple Cup, right? You were born in Ellensburg, went to Walla Walla, so you're an Eastern Washington type of guy. Obviously, strong ties at WSU. I was telling Stacy that the fascinating thing about this cup is that you got Michael Penix, who isn't from Washington, transfer. You got Cam Ward, who isn't from Washington, transfer. Like, I don't even think these guys really understand what they're getting into until you're actually on that field and you feel the passion that's going on. Just describe to the people what makes the Apple Cup game so much more different than any other game.
Oh, man, it's the biggest sporting event in the state every year. You know, we're a little bit of a divided household. You know, my dad played offensive line for the Huskies back in the day. And so, I had to give him a bottle of wine every year for about, 8 or 9 years. So I was really happy to see the Cougs step up and get one last year. But, you know, outside of the state of Washington, I don't think people understand how big a deal it is inside the borders of the state. And for those two quarterbacks that, you know, they'll be their first experience for both of them, experiencing the energy of that. And I know the Cougs are going to be fired up over there. Night game in Pullman, all the students are going to come back early from their Thanksgiving break, hopefully. And there should be a lot of energy over there Saturday night.
What's your favorite Apple Cup memory? It could be, you know, as a player or even as a viewer and fan.
You know, so, I mean, the snowball's obviously, you know, an exciting one. But one of my favorites, honestly, I think it was maybe 2011. I'm not totally positive which year it was. But it was when the Cougs came back from way down in the fourth quarter and then, you know, blocked the field goal and they almost scored in the, you know, first series of overtime. And the reason it was my favorite is I was up in the athletic director's box, and I happened to be standing with Steve Entman the whole time. And so he was, of course, was just gloating the whole game because it looked like the Huskies were going to run away with it. All of a sudden, things changed. And so I went and stood right next to him and got to celebrate and kind of rub it in his face a little bit, which is still scary. Even, you know, all these years later, he's still a terrifying human being. But I felt free to go ahead and talk some trash after that one with him. It was really fun.
Yeah, there's nothing like being able to. I live on the west side of the mountain, so you know I deal with a lot of UW fans throughout the year. But
no, aren't they annoying, man? What's more annoying than Husky fans?
We try our best.
I know you're really good at it too. You're great at being annoying. So hopefully we have bragging rights for another year. This year bumps, so you don't have to deal with too much of that stuff.
I hope so, man. Let's talk about this conference as a whole. Six ranked teams right now. The most out of any conference in the Power Five situation. Is this bittersweet? I mean, we know UCLA and USC are gone, but it's nice to see the Pac-12 have Utah, UW, Oregon State, SC, UCLA, Oregon. I mean, all these teams representing. Just remind people that there's good football on this side of the country too.
It's really nice, honestly. You know, we've been I think. You know, irrelevant is too strong a word, but man, we certainly haven't been in the conversation much for the last few years. So to have all those ranked teams and you know, I got to go back and watch the Cougs and they went back and beat the Badgers back in statement for the Cougs and for the Pack, and beat a powerful team like that. I think it's nice to see, you know, at least a little bit of respect for the Pac-12, and it certainly has been earned more this year than it has been in the past. So good to see, and hopefully it's a trend that continues, even with the SoCal schools leaving us. You know, hopefully we can maintain some relevance now for some time to come.
Well, and I'm glad. I mean, I joked about it with Bump being like, you know, that kind of playing into that like fake pretentiousness of like, oh, well, we're going to go to the Big Ten for Washington, which – we, in more seriousness, talked about how devastating that would be for these rivalry games between whether it's the Civil War, whether it's the Apple Cup, and just how important those are to football culture within a state and to recruiting and how important those things are. I mean, would you mind just talking a little bit about just the weight and importance of the Apple Cup in general?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's hugely important, obviously, in the state, and then it also it does impact, you know, recruiting when guys are, you know, looking to make a decision if they got it down to, you know, a handful of schools, that game can sometimes swing it one way or the other. So it's hugely important from that standpoint. You know, and I do hope even with some of these teams shifting conferences and so on, that they maintain some of their natural geographical rivalries. Because those are just, you know, they're historic games, you know, whether you're talking about the big game down there, you're talking about SCUS or UCLA, and then certainly the Apple Cup, even with these shifting conferences and alliances and so on, those rivalries have got to stay intact. There's just too much history behind them for those things to go by the wayside.
Hey, Drew, what do you think of DeBoer and him getting his extension? Man, I think he's done a great job over there. These guys are 9-2, the winningest first year UW head coach. Yeah, he's a Husky, but you got to tip your cap and show some love when a guy does something like that.
Oh, for certain. You know, it's, you know, these in-state rivalries. I mean, you know, you look at it for this one week a year and you know, most of the year, we, you know, this is obviously bitter rivals, but, you know, then it's sort of like that sibling rivalry, right? You know, you want to kick your brother's butt, but you don't want anybody else to do it. To see, you know, the Huskies, you know, back in the conversation, and of course to watch them take down the Ducks always makes me happy. It's good to see. You know, you want your rival to be strong, right? You know, you don't want to go kick somebody when they're down. You want to take them down when they're on top, and so that's what we're planning on doing on Saturday.
Hey, I'll side with you there, Drew. I always root for the Cougs against Oregon. Don't get me wrong, every single time.
Absolutely.
Hey, so let's get some specifics and keys to the game here. We can do this for either side, but a key to a win for the Cougs, for instance, on Saturday.
You know, I really do think, as we talked about earlier, that defense, the Cougs defense really is flying around. They've got some team speed. And they're going to have to contain Penix and keep him from making those flash plays on the perimeter, because he really is special when he's on the move. You know, he can work from the pocket as well. But it seems like, you know, if they can contain him and keep him in the pocket, keep some pressure on him in the passing game, I think that's going to be a huge key to the game. And then, you know, and then the obvious ones are always the obvious ones, right? You know, we've got to take care of the ball and score when we have our opportunities. But that's going to be a really interesting matchup to see how our defense, and particularly our defensive front, does in containing, you know, a really explosive player quarterback.
All right, last one for me before we let you go, man. We appreciate you joining us and giving us some Apple Cup love. But how's the wine business, man? I went to your tournament a couple of years ago, had a nice bottle of wine. Me and the wife enjoyed it. How's that and all your other endeavors?
Oh, man, it's going really well. You know, we've been traveling around and, you know, selling wine in different parts of the country, and it's always fun, not only for our stuff, but, you know, I was talking about, you know, with, you know, last night, you know, when we go travel, we're really talking about the entire state and what we're doing in the wine industry in Washington State. And so it's exciting for us, you know, as our own business, but it's also just really, really cool to see the notoriety that the Washington wine business has, you know, on a more national stage now. We actually had a fun event, went down to Vegas a couple weeks ago and did a little Washington versus Napa showdown. There were four Washington wines versus four Napa wines, and we took them down 3-1. So,
nice.
We're starting to, as a state, you know, receive some more national and international acclaim, which is really exciting.
He is Drew Bledsoe, kind enough to join us ahead of the Apple Cup for a preview of both teams here. And Drew, we know that you've got some family stuff. I'm sure you will be getting plenty of texts. Your phone will be blowing up about this game, so be ready for that. Otherwise, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Drew.
Yeah, cheers. And, of course, as always, go Cougs. I'll be excited to watch this game Saturday night. And I think the Cougs are going to take them down. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice.
Thanks, Drew. All right, that was Drew Bledsoe joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. I feel like if there's one person I'm going to allow space to say go Cougs, it's going to be Drew Bledsoe.
It's true.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, it's Drew Bledsoe. What am I going to do?
It's the number one pick in the draft.
That's exactly right. And NFL legend, Wazoo legend. Washington State as a state legend. I got to allow it. This hour, Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Thank you again to Drew Bledsoe for joining us for that preview. Bump's got one of his own. It is an all-Apple Cup edition of Four Down Territory, so let's get to it now.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game. With former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump, your favorite Coug in the NFL right now. This shouldn't be hard for you.
Man, the Coug who should be a starter in the league right now. All right, who brought magic to Jacksonville with the jean shorts and the mustache and the mullet and the personality. The guy who has better stats right now than Trevor Lawrence at the same time he's in the league. Was Trevor Lawrence second, like 2.5 years he's been in? Garner Minshew, at 2.5 years in the league, had better stats than Trevor Lawrence. And you don't even have to be a Coug just to like this guy, right? You just be a dude who likes beer and monster trucks and alligators, all right? And you got yourself a friend in Garner Minshew. I met the guy once. It's not easy going to a university for a semester, essentially, and being able to captivate everybody there and help build the brand and win a bunch of games. So, if I got a point, he's a backup. It is Gardner Minshew. And then I have to look at our DB Watson for the Chiefs right now. He's making plays as well. But, you know, you can't go wrong with number 16, man. Mm-hmm. Gardner Minshew, my favorite Coug in the league.
Why
right
hasn't
now.
He got more chances? Is it like a situational thing where you've played behind guys where they just saw you as a backup and they didn't need you? Is it kind of you're that in-between, not great enough to be a starter, but also like, I hear his name all the time. I know it's because we're local, but I feel like he is better. Like, I would rather have Gardner Minshew at quarterback than Zach Wilson right now.
Yeah, man. He the reason why is because once is where you get drafted, right? People look at your draft status and say, sure, okay, he's fifth, sixth round type of dude. That's how we evaluate him. That's how we're going to treat him in the league. And then you have to go with his system in college. People saw that air raid system, and they don't take it as a pro-style offense, which it isn't. And they say, okay, man, he's going to be handicapped a bit. Can he get under center? Can he go through his progressions? Can he get in multiple formations and shifts and all that stuff? Because the air raid, you just don't do that. It's pretty much line up. There's some spots we're going to hit on the field. We're going to make sure our quarterback gets it there. So, yeah, there are those things, man. And maybe he doesn't have the strongest arm. I mean, you come from Wazoo. You're not Bledsoe and Leaf number one picks, right? People think that you're a product of a system, and you're not exactly talented. So, yeah, there's some things working against him. But worst-case scenario, man, he'll be in the league for a long time, being a number two, number three, and collect a check.
The 206 wants to know who you'd say on the top Husky side. Well, lo and behold, second down. Bump your favorite Husky in the NFL right now. You have so many great choices.
So many great choices. I can go with Vita Vea. Yes. Saw him in Germany. Love seeing that guy play. But this one's easy for me. It's Buda Baker.
Number one, man.
Buda Baker plays with an intensity that you rarely see out of a guy his size. He plays with a confidence. I love his leadership. If you've watched in-season Hard Knocks, he's the leader on that Arizona team. They're not doing great right now, but Buda Baker is dynamic. He will fill a gap in the box like he weighs 250 pounds. He will run you down from sideline to sideline. There was a while where he didn't have an interception in his career, and I think maybe a year or two ago he had two interceptions. So he's got that monkey off his back. And everything I know about him, everything I've heard about him, is that he's just a good dude. Local product, went to Bellevue, went to UW, obviously. Whenever Buda Baker's on the football field, I take about 10 plays where I just watch him because I just love the intensity that he plays with. Buda Baker is my favorite Husky
The
league right now. And then throw Uncle Will in there, man, because I like Uncle Will.
Of course. Yeah. I feel bad for Buda Baker, man. You can say this about any player. There are plenty of players on bad teams that are good people, and you think he deserves a better team around him. But Buda Baker has so consistently been pretty much like their best player on that team, and the organization has failed their top players, and it hasn't just been Buda. They've had, when they had Fitzgerald, obviously having Hopkins there, who's insanely talented. Hopkins hasn't fallen off. The organization has failed from the top down to win, and I cannot get over thinking that Cliff Kingsbury is a core issue there. He has not been able to effectively lead, to effectively curate this culture of winning. You can see people giving up. You can see people getting frustrated. You can see people not buying in, and I feel for local products that we care about a bit more out there, that they're in that situation. Not only that, but how many times, if you're Buda Baker, can you rally the troops and be like, okay, guys, we got to get better. We got to do this. I'm tired of losing. You lose again. Every single time, even though you mean it, it loses weight. Right? Isn't that exhausting?
Yeah, it's you only have so many speeches in your back pocket.
Right?
You only have so many win one for the Big Gipper. Is that what it's called? Win one for the Gipper? Ever heard of that? You never heard of that?
No.
Well,
no,
all right,
no.
Stace.
Well, is that a phrase from like the 80s?
Text lines, get me right. I don't know. Win one for the Gipper.
The Gipper?
I think that's what it's called.
Gotta Google this.
Yeah, somebody let me know.
Okay, no problem. Third down. All right, let's talk Apple Cup performances. Same format here. Let's start with the Huskies, though. Your greatest Husky Apple Cup performance.
See, and now I'm just going to go off the Apple Cups that I were a part of, because there is this young man who was on this Husky team. Every time the ball was in his hand, you felt like he can do something special. And the ball was in his hand every single snap. That's Jake Locker.
Yeah.
The last time I played against Jake Locker, numbers weren't great when it comes to passing, 12 for 35, but he passed for 224 yards and a touchdown. Then he also ran the ball for 103 yards and two touchdowns. Every time Jake Locker was under center, we're just crossing our fingers like, all right, man, let's just hope that he makes a mistake, because he was clearly the best athlete on the field out there. And not only was he the best athlete on the field, a good person too, man. Like,
yeah.
I remember that 0 for year. They went 0 for 11 or something like that. After the game, he's still, can I pray for you? How you doing, brother? Like, the nicest person I've ever met on a football field. There's a lot of bad people on that football field, and Jake Locker was not one of them. It was a tough game, my last Apple Cup. We won 42-35. But if Jake Locker had the ball to win it, there's a chance he was going to get it done. We just had the ball last.
There are times sometimes I wonder if the NFL's business was just not a good fit for Jake philosophically. You know, like, I think that he could have found backup jobs, but there are some people that I think are so turned off by facets of the NFL that they're like, I, on principles, cannot be here.
Yeah, Jake Locker was a different breed. Like, the lifestyle of the NFL was not conducive to what he believed in, his faith, his family. Like, he, football was just a tool for him. He didn't really need football. He used it to start his own business. He's still up in Ferndale, I believe, still up north doing his thing, got a wife, family, kids, all that good stuff, man. Yeah, the NFL, not Jake Locker's cup of tea.
And funny that he didn't really need football, loved football, but he could have played like four different positions.
Yeah.
Like, this guy could have been strong safety. He could have been, you know, it's just insane. Okay, well, let's spread the love around. Fourth down. I am not allowing you to say yourself.
I would never do that.
Greatest Coug Apple Cup performance. Can you imagine if you were like, you know, I've thought about all the performances, and no. I got to be honest with you, Michael Bumpus.
No, I would not do that. That's not how I get down. I got to look at my buddy Brandon Gibson, man. He played in the NFL for about 6-7 years with the Rams, Miami, with New England. Receiver out of Puyallup, down south. And my last Apple Cup, we were driving to win the game. Here's where I'll sprinkle myself in.
Okay.
Three third downs, I catch the ball to extend the drive. But when it was time to score, we knew who we were going to. That was Brandon Gibson. In the 07 Apple Cup, he had 6 catches for 137 yards and 2 touchdowns. This dude was a sophomore at the time, leading the way. Gibson, one of the most naturally gifted athletes I've ever played with. I believe he is the tight ends coach at University of Colorado right now. Having a tough year, but my guy, man, he made a catch at the end of the game that won it for us. The Huskies send a blitz off the edge. Alex Breen stands tall in the pocket, gets popped in the chin, but then tosses it up to B. Gibb. B. Gibb scores the game-winning touchdown with about 14 seconds left on the clock. That was one of the best performances I've seen out of a young receiver as well.
I found the win one for the Gipper reference.
Okay.
Now, forgive.
So I didn't make it up?
No, you did not. Forgive my ignorance. I was not aware of this story, and I think that is forgivable. But from the Notre Dame archives, Newt Rockne gave his win one for the Gipper speech to Notre Dame players at halftime of the 1928 Army game. He was trying to salvage something from his worst season as coach at Notre Dame. To inspire the players, he told them the story of the tragic death of the greatest player ever at Notre Dame, George Gipp.
There you go.
Yeah.
Win one for the Gipper.
Win one for the Gipper. I get it now. Someone said, oh my God, Stacey, you need to know that. Football history. Look, I know a lot of football history. I didn't happen to know that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
She knows a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. I just didn't remember it. It's Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. What I need to know coming up at 45 after. You can get your questions in 866-979-3776. First, though, we got to take a look at the timeline where we've got the fourth college football playoff rankings released. We'll tell you where everyone lines up. UW got a new ranking, by the way. DK Metcalf had a great reaction to being asked about his $30,000 fine. And also, does Odell Beckham Jr. have a new home soon? That's next.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
First and foremost, get your questions in for What I Need to Know. It's coming your way in 15 minutes. 866-979-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. Right now, though, Bump, we're looking at the timeline. Let's start with college football playoff rankings released yesterday. The Pac-12 has teams in the top 25. Here we go. USC, number 6. Oregon, number 9. UW, number 13. Although in some polls, they're number 12. And number 14, Utah. UCLA, 18th. Oregon State, up to 21.
You know what I have to say to that? Put some respect on our name. Pac-12, soon to be 10. We got 6 of them things in the top 25. You know who doesn't have 6? SEC.
Yep.
You know who doesn't have 6?
Big 10. That's right.
All right, ACC, Big 12.
Yep.
Nah, it's us. So, yes, let's enjoy this moment. And now we have to be USC supporters, guys. I know.
I don't want to.
All right? They got.
I don't want to.
They're playing Notre Dame. If they win this game, LSU was playing Georgia in the SEC championship game. They got LSU, a 3-loss team, which is crazy, or a 2-loss team, in front of SC. LSU is going to lose to Georgia. If SC wins this game, SC should be in the college football playoff.
Does that help the Pac-12, or does it make it look like SC definitely doesn't belong here and belongs in greener pastures?
Both.
I know, it's so annoying.
Both, because it's like, all right, well, they're playing some good football, but
the Big Ten sees it as, oh, well, we're taking their best team, yeah. And it's like,
taking the best team, but let's not forget, you take the best team, right, two of the best teams, you still got four teams that are ranked. So,
yeah.
Yes, it's bittersweet, but let's go out with a bang.
Okay. Next story here. The Cleveland Browns are attempting to repair damage to their field before they host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. Why? Well, the team said that at some point overnight, a joyrider broke into the stadium, drove a vehicle onto the grass, and caused some superficial damage. So now they have to repair the field ahead of this game. How?
How does someone get in with a car?
Imagine, like,
doing donuts.
Yeah, there is a way to drive onto any field because you need ambulances to be able to get on and off the field.
Yeah.
So every team in every stadium has these big tunnels where you could feasibly, and it's not just ambulances, it's people wheeling on turf, you know what I mean, equipment. Mm-hmm. Like, there are huge hallways in stadiums where carts and cars can go through.
Yeah.
You would think that security would prohibit that from happening. How did someone do this?
Security would prohibit that from happening.
I have questions. I have lingering questions.
It's an NFL stadium. There should be cameras everywhere. This shouldn't happen, but you know what? Yeah. Hey, good for you. I hope it was worth it. Hope it was fun. Did they catch the guy, or is he gone?
I don't think they caught him.
Is he at large?
I think he's at large. I think he's on the lam.
Look at him.
I gotta double check it. Next up in the timeline, DK Metcalf trending, and he's always trending for all kinds of different reasons. This time it's not because of, you know, changing the color of his hair or like a really cool play, both of which are really awesome. Instead, he was asked at a press conference yesterday what he could have possibly said to an official to merit the $30,000 fine he just got. Here's what he said.
I mean, it's the NFL, so I'm not tripping.
What could you possibly have said to $3,000?
You got to ask the $30,000 ref that got his head to him. I don't think it was that big of a deal, in my opinion, but
I'm imagining it was a very not direct, but
no, it was direct.
Flippant. You think it was like
he pointed at him, and he probably said you. As soon as you say you to a referee, they get all sensitive. They get all Derek Carr on us. You know what I'm saying? They went at the sniffles and want to cry and stuff. So it was personal because I remember them slowing it down. And referees got to have thicker skin, man. It's like, it's almost they forget that there's a human factor in this whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're able to talk and treat anyone else the way that they want to. But as soon as you challenge them on anything, they get all sensitive, man. I think all refs should go to sensitivity training.
Yeah, before, but to be less sensitive.
To be less sensitive.
To be less unsensitivity training.
There we go, unsensitivity
training. Ones I hate are the ones where it's like a player runs by a guy and just brushes up against him, and it's clearly not personal, but then they throw the flag for like, this guy ran into me. It's like, I don't think any player's trying to run into you.
No.
I really don't. Maybe it's happened a couple times, but for the most part, players aren't trying to penalize their team, especially players on the lower rung, because you're like, I'm not trying to get a flag. I'm going to get benched for the next several series.
Yeah, and imagine a $30,000 fine.
No.
If you would have fined me $30,000 when I was in the NFL, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry.
Yes, rightfully so.
It's too much money.
Next up here, Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach and run game coordinator Sean Kugler was fired. Now, we were all wondering why he was fired. More details have come out. I thought it was because of this game, but no. He allegedly groped a woman in Mexico City over the weekend. The Thursday night game between the 49ers and Cardinals was played in Mexico City as part of that international series. Kugler is the second Cardinals assistant coach to be accused of assaulting a woman this year. In May, former running backs coach James Saxon turned himself into Indiana police after assaulting a woman in her Indianapolis home. Saxon was only fired after his arrest became public in August.
What's up with these dudes, man?
I don't know.
So Saxon gropes a woman in public? Oh, no. So Saxon was the one who had the
assaults a woman in her
thing.
Home.
He assaults a woman, and then this other coach gropes a woman in public in Mexico. What's going on with these guys? You know what's happening. that liquor make you do some things, man. I want to say that chances are there was some alcohol involved in this whole thing. You're in a different country. You think you're untouchable. You're with the NFL. No, sir. There are rules and regulations.
Weird.
Keep your hands to yourself.
You know what I've never done when I've been drunk? Groped anyone. Like, it's kind of like when people are like, well, you never know what people are going to find on your Twitter history. And it's like, you know what I've never tweeted? Slurs. Like, go search back when I was 20. You're not going to find them.
You're not going to find them.
It's just, I feel like people always do. Yes, there is an avenue of like, everyone makes mistakes and everything should be forgivable. And in theory, and, you know, like people do dumb things. But then there's this area where you're like, okay, but let's not fully let it cover that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if someone's 20 and you go, he's just a kid. Well, he's 20. He's young.
He's young.
And youth is part of the context of this. But
you should know
20
better.
Isn't a kid.
Nah, you should know better. Yeah. And especially these grown men, coaches, should know better, man. And here's the thing, too. It's like everything you do is going to be amplified because of the position that you're in as well. Like, so if there's any type of question, mm-hmm. like, just don't do it. You know, don't do it. Any question, don't do it because, one, it's not right. But two, because of the position you're in, man, you ain't getting away with nothing.
Yep. All right, things are getting serious between Ohio State and Michigan. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center newborn babies are being swaddled in Beat Michigan blankets ahead of this weekend's matchup. Ohio State, Michigan face off Saturday at 9 a.m. Getting the babies involved.
They don't put that thing on old babies.
Maybe they want to go to Michigan. Maybe they want to go to Cal.
Exactly.
Maybe they want to go to Stanford.
What school they going to go to?
You know, maybe they want to go to ITT Tech.
DeVry.
Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Ohio State.
No, they better ask the parents first. I hope that's what they're doing and not just putting these babies. Because you can be in a divided house, you know? You could be, what if you're out here in Kirkland?
The article did say they're asking the parents, but the picture of the all the babies in, like, the, I don't know what it is, the nursery there, it seemed like there were a lot of yeses.
Yeah, there's a lot of red little baby blankets.
Well, they're asking the parents. Okay, I digress. I feel better about it because last thing I would want is to show up to see my baby and he or she is swaddled in something that I don't agree with.
Or like Beat Cougs. Because your baby's born in Seattle. You lose your mind.
What's going on?
My mom likes to tell this story of when I was younger. I was born and I was almost 9 pounds. I was very, very fat. And the nurses, I was the fattest baby in the hospital.
Nice.
And the nurses had a sign on my crib where one shift ended and it said, feed me, because the next nurse had to come in. Then the nurses came in and thought it was so funny that the fat baby had a feed me sign. Everyone was laughing about it. And that is the story my mom likes to tell to strangers, relatives, literally anyone.
That's how you break the ice. Icebreaker.
Yes, I guess.
That's a good story.
It feels like bullying to me.
I'm going to tell the story to people that I meet. Hey, you know,
my co-host was born just super fat and the nurses made fun of her. Next up here, Dak Prescott says he's made it clear to Odell Beckham Jr. how much he wants him in Dallas, and he thinks Odell's on the same page. This is what he told reporters. Prescott, it's mutual. Honestly, it's mutual. That's the reason I said it's business. And more, it's more than just somebody's feelings of wanting to be somewhere. I understand that will come into play, but I'm feeling like it's mutual, that being the interest between Odell Beckham Jr. and Dallas.
Here's the great thing about Odell Beckham. He has all the leverage. You sit, you train, you get healthy, and you pick where you want to go to try to win another Super Bowl. Odell Beckham is at the point of his career, chase the ring. You got nothing else to prove, right? You're not going to go down statistically as one of the best receivers to play the game because of some down years in Cleveland, and you've been banged up. But talent-wise, everybody knows, talent-wise, you're probably top five in this league. So at this point, you've got nothing to prove. You already have one of the greatest catches of all time. You're one of the most explosive players of all time. Go help a team out and get a ring. I'm not mad at Odell, man.
No, not at all. In fact, I hope he goes to Dallas because I wouldn't want to go to L.A. if I was him either. All right. What I need to know is how we're wrapping up the show today before we get to the huddle. And we need your questions. 866-979-3776. Any question you have, text it now to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
wrapping things up with What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. And I need your questions. It can be about the Seahawks, Apple Cup, I don't know, Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving games, Week 12 in general, non-sports related at all. Whatever it is, send it in. Now, advice, those are my favorite ones. Me, personally, I love those ones. The number is 866-979-3776. It's the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776.
Texters, where you at?
979-3776. Here we go. Question number one. What I need to know. Your house is on the line. Who wins Saturday night? Washington or Wazoo?
Oh, that really changes things now that my house is on the line.
Yeah,
of course
it does.
It doesn't. Fight, fight, fight for Washington State. Win a victory. You know what it is, Stacy.
Really?
Yes.
Your house on the line.
House on the line.
I don't think Jen would be happy about that bet.
Hey, we got other properties. We're good.
Oh, God. Maura, who are you taking in the Apple Cup, by the way?
I think I kind of said this yesterday when we did, I don't know, you made me predict something. But yeah, I think Michael Penix Jr. is playing really well. I'm going to go with UW.
You are
Bump said I feel more like I'd be a Coug type person. I will root for them.
I can see
but
that. Yeah.
Maura, I take that back now. Maura, you're giving too much Husky love, Maura.
I'm sorry.
Bump has already banned me from saying go Cougs.
If my home was on the line, that's who I'd pick. I'll root for the Cougs, though. Okay, Bump?
What I need to know from the 206, if you're in town for Thanksgiving, then flying out the next day, are you packing leftovers on your carry-on?
No.
No?
No, no leftovers on a carry-on.
Is it bad form to bring containers of food, not packaged food, containers of food onto a plane like that? Because it's not like it smells bad.
I feel like it
looks... don't bring shrimp or fish to work or on a plane.
I feel like it's tacky. You know what I mean? Like, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it for sure. I feel like I've been stared at, though.
I think sometimes it just matters. Like, moms really want you to take... There is something about moms where they need you to take leftovers. My mom will not sleep at night unless I leave the house with, like, several Ziploc bags full of things and, like, a little container full of things. She already told me. She's like, you're going to get leftovers. I was like, okay, thank you. I know this. Ask Bump why he couldn't beat Lake Stevens. Wow, texters.
Oh, that's the same kid. So I've
same
had conversation
person,
with this dude.
Same person.
I have conversations with him. You know why? Because I live a good life. And Lake Stevens was a good program.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if I cheated, I could win a lot of games too, you know?
Yeah. Next question, what I need to know. What is the best Thanksgiving movie to watch? I want one to be an annual tradition in my home. I don't watch a Thanksgiving movie.
Me neither.
Usually I get started with holiday movies. There are some holiday movies that have Thanksgiving in them.
Yeah. I'll go with one of those Tyler Perry movies then.
Yeah.
Holiday Tyler Perry movie.
I just usually watch football, or my mom's already watching Hallmark movies.
Uh-huh.
So we just jump right into it. If you're sitting next to... Oh, God, I lost this one. I lost it. I got to find it again. Okay. Let's see. Best Thanksgiving cocktail.
Mm. Yak on the rocks.
Same one. Same one as last time. what food and drink do you need to get through an entire day of football?
Entire day of football. Start with some yak.
Start with
yak.
9:30 a.m.
Hey, when it's there's certain occasions where time doesn't matter. It's Thanksgiving. You wake up drinking. All right, and then it's when you're in Vegas. Like, it's always time to drink.
Yeah. What I need to know, non-Thanksgiving related. Did Geno have a bad first half against Tampa Bay?
Not a great one. Not a great one.
I just say the offense in general. If you don't score and you don't, would they get like a field goal? Like,
yeah.
The offense in general wasn't functioning. I don't pin the loss on Geno, though.
No.
Not when they rush for 160 with that rushing offense. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with that one.
Female.
Yeah. What I need to know, is cranberry sauce the best Thanksgiving treat? Treat? No?
Cranberry.
I don't like cranberry sauce.
You put it on the stuffing, though?
I usually skip it.
Some little bit of gravy and some cranberry? Woo! Cultural. You coming over for Thanksgiving, Stacey? I'm going to learn you.
All right. Going to Vegas this weekend for the first time to watch Kraken at Knights. What's a must-visit place in Vegas?
Must-visit place. Are you going with your family or just you and the wife?
Let's give two different alternatives. One is they're going with friends and one is with family.
Okay, with family, I don't know. You just have to hit up arcades and stuff. Circus isn't the greatest hotel, but my kids love the arcades over there. If you're going just with your friends and stuff, man, Topgolf. I know we have one out here now, but Topgolf.
You know what's so funny? I was going to say, I bet their Topgolf is super fancy and giant.
It's dope.
I know. For the listener earlier who was wondering which movie, multiple people, my entire text line feed right now is flooded with people saying Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So,
okay.
I thought that was a TV show starring like Guy Fieri or something.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
I don't know. It's Steve Martin and John Candy.
Okay. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is what you need to watch, says listeners. Better day for the Apple Cup, Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday for sure.
For sure.
Well, and Friday's annoying because if you have to travel to one of the other places, then you usually need to leave the day before.
Yeah.
I went to Pullman for a Friday Apple Cup. Not a huge fan.
Not a fan.
It just, I didn't like not having Thanksgiving at home. I just didn't want it. Does 3 years, $100 million keep Gino in the building? So that would be 34, 33?
Yeah, for sure, easily. That's what he's worth, honestly.
Yeah.
That's what he's worth.
Is mac and cheese a Thanksgiving dish?
Heck yeah. Mac and cheese is any holiday gift.
Yes.
Dish.
Correct.
For sure.
Definitely, definitely, definitely a Thanksgiving dish. In fact, I was in charge of bringing it this year, and I had my sister do it. Isn't that nice? It's called delegation.
I like it.
Yeah. What I need to know, bump. Oh, God.
Do I need to stand for this one?
Bump. What's the best round of golf you've ever
shot? That one time I was releasing.
You know
the
what
hits.
You're doing, Texter.
77, you know? If you've ever been, it's a beautiful place.
I'm so
at 77.
Upset. So upset.
Yeah, it's nice. Stacey, I'll take you one day.
No, that's okay. I'm okay. Let's see. How do you feel about Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving?
I have no choice. I go to the garage.
Not,
I pull the bins out. I set them down. I have no choice.
You have no choice in the matter. It's just the answer is yes. All right, you guys. That will do it for Bump and Stacey for this week. We are sticking around, though. We're not going anywhere. We're going to bring on Dave Wyman. Maura Dooley sticking around on the board as well, helping out today. Maura, we appreciate it. So for Bump and Stacey, the show, we are saying goodbye, but do not go anywhere. A 2-hour Seahawks preview is coming your way next.